here in Genesis chapter 43. Now, two weeks ago, we looked at detour number one, and I titled this, of course, you guessed it, detour number two. And here in chapter 43 of Genesis, and the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. I don't know why he said that. He's got how many, there's how many kids and all their families, and go buy us a little food. I tell you, I look at some of this, and I'm like, this guy Jacob here, he's making me scratch my head, and we'll look at some of the things in his life. But I'm sure it was a distressful time. And Judah spake unto him, saying, now Judah is fourthborn. Simeon, that they kept back in prison in Egypt, he's the secondborn. Okay, so you had, first one is Reuben, and then Simeon, and then Levi, and then Judah. And so Judah is the fourthborn, and he becomes the spokesman in these couple of chapters. Spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? And they said, the man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words. Could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be a surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this, take of the best of the fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise, go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. Now you notice there, he didn't even mention Simeon by name. What father does that? His son is in prison in a foreign country, and he calls him your other brother. Now, I'm not trying to be picky. I have two sons, and one of them was in prison. I certainly wouldn't be sending the man a present. I'd be storming the castle. You know, I'd be up in arms. This is a difficult, difficult passage. And the men in verse 15 took that present, and they took double money in their hand and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house and said, O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, peace be to you, fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out unto them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. And they made ready the present against Joseph came at noon. For they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare and said, is your father well? The old man of whom you spake, is he yet alive? And they answered, thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. And he sought where to weep, and entered into his chamber, and wept there. And he washed his face, and went out, and refrained himself, and said, set on bread. And they set on for him by himself, and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled one at another. And he took and set messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. And put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his servant, steward, up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have you rewarded evil for good? Is not this in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing. And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servant should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths, we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. And he said, now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And they searched, and began at the eldest, and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes, and laid at every man his ass, and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant, and as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidst unto thy servants, bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father. For if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidst unto thy servant, except thou your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go again and buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, ye know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the land unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father. We'll end there, just before the climax. Oh, boy. Let's have prayer first. Father, I need your direction. Your Spirit's filling to speak from your word. Help us with this tonight. And again, be with the King family in Mexico. Would you bless them? Keep them safe. Help them in their ministries there. Thank you for those 4 years that you've given them there and the people that have been saved, lives that have been touched. And bless us now as we study your word in Jesus' name. And amen. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at Genesis chapter 42 in detour number one, and we said two things there, that God directs the traffic. He brought Joseph's brothers down, and they bowed. And we notice here again, they come to his house, and they bowed twice to him while they were there. And I can't help but the flashbacks Joseph must have had. And then we saw that Joseph is flexible to God's will. And he's got an understanding here. But, you know, sometimes a detour can be quite a distraction. You ever found that? A lot of times, I would say that the human species, we're probably the most easily distracted species on the earth in many, many ways. And many times we get lulled into distraction. The story is told of a security guard at a lumber mill, where there was an abundance of employee theft, and so they were heightening their security. And one night, the security guard sees a man wheeling a wheelbarrow out of the mill, and it's got this big, suspicious-looking sack in the wheelbarrow. And the security guard immediately heads over there, and he forcefully detains the man and demands to know what he is stealing, to which the man replies that he's just taking sawdust. Well, the guard knew the man was allowed to take the sawdust, so after examining the bag, he dumped it out, went through it all, made sure there was nothing hidden in the sawdust. You put it back in there now, and the guard walked away all upset. You know, couldn't catch him stealing anything, and he allowed the man to leave. And this would go on occasionally. Every few nights, this man would be wheeling this wheelbarrow, and he'd have this big sack of sawdust there. And the security guard just knew that the man was stealing, but he couldn't prove it. So he'd had enough, and he said, I'll make you a deal. You tell me what you're stealing, and you stop stealing, and I won't press any charges, no charges against you. He says, so what exactly are you stealing? To which the man replied, wheelbarrows. I didn't read in the fun paper, but I thought I probably might someday.
We did a different version at the border with bicycles.
Okay. I figured it was out there. But it reminded me of that. You know, you get distracted by something. And isn't that what detour often does, is that you get distracted by something and you're maybe frustrated or angry, and all those emotions just distract you from what's really taking place. And we find here, I've got four different points here tonight, and they're not long points, but the first thing we notice is, number one, the indifference of Jacob. And I don't believe I'm stretching anything here, but I just don't like his attitude that he has here. He's a dad, and he has adult children. And it's hard what's taking place here. And I put under letter A that there's a lack of concern for Simeon in prison. As I mentioned there, from he only mentions him in chapter 43 and verse 14, but he doesn't even mention him by name. He just says, your other brother and Benjamin. This is the only mention. Benjamin is the emphasis of these conversations. As parents, we have to be so very careful when it comes to how we treat our children. And sometimes, I know I always believe, well, once my children grow up, then, you know, I'll be done parenting. I was wrong again. But we love our children. We love them as adults, too. Not just because they're small and we get to do everything for them, or, you know, largely. But no, as they become adults, we need to be respectful of them as well. It's very, very important. But it seems to be lacking here for Simeon. I can't imagine what I would do if one of my children were in prison in a foreign country. you know, this that just goes against my grain. I would just, you know, we don't see, we have no account, and I'm sure that Jacob prayed, but we have no account of his prayers. I would like to think that if that happened to me, everybody would know my prayers. But it seems to be a lack of concern for Simeon in prison. Letter B, a lack of conversation about Judah's promise. There's a lack of conversation about Judah's promise. In verse number 9, he said, I'll be surety for him. He says, I'm going to guarantee him. And if I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. He uses that term. Now, what's he already bearing the blame for? Right? For Joseph? He already has the guilt load from that, and that's a big one, I believe, for him. He already lives a guilty life. Now he says, I'm willing to live another guilty life. You ever notice that in, and you can see this even in Christian lives, and it ought not to be named amongst Christians at all, that just because you make one wrong decision, you don't go make another one thinking it's going to make it right. You know, it's not like some form of strange math. It doesn't work that way. What do? We change. We ask for the Lord's help so we don't go and repeat mistakes again. But there's very little conversation. It's not like his father tries to talk him out of it. None of that at all. Then letter C, he's more concerned about impressing this man in Egypt. In verse number 11, he says, let's send a present down to him. Like I said, I wouldn't be sending any presents to him. I'd be upset. Yes.
See, really on this case, but
yep.
So he was showed favoritism to Joseph, which was wrong as a parent.
Yep.
And now it seems like he's saying that.
Oh, absolutely.
So really, it's not surprising. It's, you know, it's just not right.
Yes. But he didn't learn anything in his grief. Did he? It's got to be something going on there, because are we to learn in our grief, or are we just to wallow? Because, I mean, when you get to the end here, here's Judah telling Joseph, if I don't come back with Benjamin, it's going to bring my father down with gray hairs to the grave. Well, what about Judah? It's like everything's about one, just about Israel. Yes. That'll preach. Amen. Amen. That'll preach right there, you know. That would be the crux of the situation, going back to what is the root of the problem. Amen. And in our lives, we got to go back to the root of the problem. And very important. But I see a lot of indifference here coming from Jacob. Now he wants to hear, and I don't know, he said there in verse number 11, take of the best fruits in the land. What do you think those look like? They're in a famine.
I thought there was a famine.
I know. I'm like, what's the best fruits? What is all this stuff? It'll be like, not very, in my opinion, not very nice.
Well, if it's dry figs, that's fine. Almonds, they're fine. Fruits aren't bad.
Right.
But I'm just saying, where to get them from?
I know. Yeah, I don't know where they, the Bible, he doesn't explain where they got this stuff from, but I'm like, he take the best in the land, but I'm not so sure the best is all that great. And so this indifference. Then we see, secondly, point number two here is the desperation of Judah. I believe he's desperate. He wants to provide for his family. He knows they have to go back to Egypt. They have to get food. That's the only place they can get it from. And he is pretty desperate. And what we find here, letter A, is an adult son attempting. He is attempting to explain a difficult circumstance to his father. He's trying to explain a difficult circumstance to his father. Now, I want you to follow this train of thought with me and help me with this. Just because we've gotten older, do we necessarily make wiser decisions? Just think about it before you answer, though. Does that guarantee wiser decisions? Does it just come with age? And is that the criteria?
Only older people are allowed to answer.
Right.
Am I right?
Yes. They're the only ones who are there. So you tell me what it's like up there. Although I was calculating. And I went, wow. And this year, I will have been saved for 50 years. Yeah, that's all of God's grace. And then I started calculating. I realized I've been a serious student of the scriptures for 40 years this year. All I saw was responsibility and accountability flashing before my eyes, right? But God's grace, God's goodness. But is it just because I've been on the road for so long? Is that what guarantees wisdom, or is there something else involved there? Because I don't think they're going to call this a very wise situation in this family. What do you think? Those that are further along down that road, a little longer in the tooth, a little more silver in the hair. What do you think?
I think we slow down and think a little more. Still may not make the right decision, but at least we're not so spontaneous.
Okay.
Maybe that's good. But still has to have the right outcome.
Yeah. I don't see lack of spontaneity as good or bad, but definitely needs to be thought put into things, that's for sure. Counting the cost, very important. Yeah. You know, somebody was quoting a scripture the other day and they're talking about the hoary head and the honor. But if you read that scripture, I don't have it here in front of me, it says when the hoary head is found in the way of righteousness. That's where it's at. You know, this is Israel. This is Jacob. Patriarch. You got to respect him. But Judah's pretty desperate talking to his father. In chapter 43, verse 6, and Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? Yeah, so he's trying to talk to his dad. Jacob's taking this personally. Like, why did you tell him? And of course, he goes on to explain that there. And then in verse number 9, I put letter B, an adult son making a terrible decision. He's making a terrible decision. He says, I'll guarantee the safety of Benjamin. That's bad. I can understand his concern. He says, we've got to go to Egypt. We've got to get food. So he is here. But he's a desperate man. And desperate decisions are not going to turn out usually very good. I don't see any prayer involved. Often throughout the scripture, you see prayer involved, right? Lord, what do we do? I mean, I look at David. King David didn't make every right decision, and yet there was a lot of prayer that happened in his life, right? So we find the indifference of Jacob, the desperation of Judah. And point number 3, the heart position. I call this the heart position of Joseph. Where is his heart at? As they arrive and they bow before him, and we get all the way into chapter to the end of chapter 43 here now. And they come and they bow before him. Look in verse number 29. And we find here, and he lifted up his eyes and he saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. Now he's talking like he's a real older brother. Okay, he's not even 40 yet. Okay, my son, he's talking to him here. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. So I put letter A there, brokenness of Joseph. Brokenness. I'll tell you what usually happens when people are separated from one another in their families, and they go through hard times, they become bitter, not broken. Yeah, when they've been wrong, because he's been wronged by his brothers, what that does to most families is it just makes them go crazy. And they're angry. But Joseph is broken. Why? Because he's following the Lord. And then in chapter 44, I put here letter B, test given by Joseph. And what he has is he has a cup. Everybody have a favorite cup? His was a little different than that, okay? And he had that cup, and he said to one of his servants, go put that in Benjamin's sack. And we read the story here, and they wait till they get down the road, and then they go flying after him. You can just see the sirens on here and pull him over and say, you know, you've stolen from the man, and so this is what you're going to face now. And of course, they go through all this going, no way, there's no way we could have done this. And of course, as it's found in Benjamin's sack, and they head back and they fall down before Joseph. And I'm sure they're at the end of their wits, right? Simeon has just spent, I would say, at least a year in prison. They finally get him back. Now what's going to happen? It was one series of things after another. They're probably thinking, if we can just get out of Egypt, if we can just get away from this place, we can just go back to normal. But God's going to have a new normal for them pretty soon, isn't he? So we find this heart position of Joseph as he is now bringing this test before them. And then we see in Roman numeral number 4, the explanation of Judah. And we read of his account here, and I put under letter A, the history of his father. From verses 18 through 33, he goes and he basically comes before Joseph and throws himself down. Please listen to me. And you can just imagine him rattling this off as quickly as he can, not wanting to be interrupted by the guards as he recounts this. He gets to verse number 32, for thy servant became surety for the lad, here in chapter 44, verse 32, and unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. So did Judah have a change of heart from many years before? Yeah. Shares this history. And then in verse number 34, I put letter B there, the anguish of his soul. The anguish of his soul says, for how shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father. So for all this favoritism that Jacob has had, here is Judah still not wanting evil to come upon his dad. It's pretty noble. Pretty selfless man. But he's caught himself in a desperate situation. We know that Joseph in the next chapter will reveal his identity and will expose his detour. We'll come back to that, Lord willing, next week. But Joseph is truly broken, not angry, not bitter. There's something, you know, happening here. I'm wondering if Joseph wondered if they would ever come back. They'll find food somewhere else. They'll do something else. You know, I'm sure there were people that went to Egypt and bought food and then sold it to others, right? I mean, that's what happens when there's a famine. And if Joseph could have thought, well, they might be buying food from, you know, a different supplier, and they bought it from us and subcontractor, whatever. I'm wondering, will they come back? And then they return, and what do? Fall on their face before him, and all the dreams got to come flooding back. This is amazing. No doubt he had plenty of time to formulate a plan. If they come back, what will you do? Somehow, Lord put in his heart to say, we're going to give them a test, and we're going to see where their hearts are. If we were each given a test today about our hearts, I had to stop and think about this. How would we do? I know we'd all like to believe that we would pass. Amen? My heart would be in the right place. Joseph is truly broken, not angry, not bitter, but Judah is ridden by guilt and wants to truly protect his father. Sometimes guilt makes us do some very strange things. Let us allow the detours that come into our lives to run their course, and may God allow our hearts to be broken. Put some scriptures in here. In Psalm 34, 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. The Lord is fond of a broken heart. In Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. When the heart is broken, God is listening. It's hard, though, isn't it, when you have a broken heart? It's one of the very difficult things. And then Psalm 147:3, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. The only one who can heal, I truly believe, the broken heart is our Heavenly Father. You have to remember, he is always concerned about your broken heart. He's about to turn his whole family around. Big surprise coming, right? How many times do you think you've read this story and we're used to it? But I always find as I study, I got to remember, like as if I'm reading it for the first time. Can you imagine this happening to this family? Let's thank the Lord. Father, I pray you will help us. And Lord, there may be some broken hearts here tonight. I pray you'd bring healing. You'd bring comfort. You said you're nigh to those that are of a broken heart. You heal the broken heart. So I pray you would help. Thank you for Joseph's positive heart attitude. What a position he took. Thank you, we can learn from him. Lord, oh, we love you for this. In Jesus' name, and amen.